What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sport Medicine Broadcast, Finding Your Athletic Training Paradise with the Alaska and Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association, number 191. Except for Chris Dean, the president of the Alaska Athletic Trainers Association, was caught in the airport on a delayed flight there. He was supposed to be sitting in the city wherever the hockey team was traveling doing this broadcast, but because the flight got delayed, we are going solo with Sam Lee, the president of the Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association. So our guest this week is Sam Lee. He has been in the profession for about 20 years, 2 years at... All right, Sam, I'm definitely not from Hawaii, so let's see. I'm going to give this a shot. Wailua High and Intermediate School, is that right?
Yep, sounds good.
Wailua, all right. And then Castle High School, that one's easy, but that's in Kanoi?
Kaneohe.
Kaneohe. And then now he's at Hawaii Baptist Academy in Honolulu. That one's easy. Everybody knows Honolulu. So I want to give a quick shout out to Israel Montano. He won the Sports Health gift card. So I just got that from them. The Sports Health gift card went to Israel Montano. So each month somebody can enter to win a Sports Health gift card for being a listener to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. All right. I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right beside me, we've got...
Jeremisha.
Joshua.
Jasmine.
Cooper.
Tiana.
And then we've got taking notes and adding to the transcript, Daniela, Jasmine, Mariana, Ariana on Twitter. And that stuff, we've got Juanita and Nelly. We've got Yvette taking pictures. And you already heard Josh switching cameras, and Nick is switching cameras as well. If you want to join the conversation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Right there on the homepage, it has this live stream, and you can click right above it to register and jump into the conversation, because we have Jasmine. Read those names off for me again. I know you said Craig Lewin, Christy K,
John
Joanna, Prosek, Joanna.
And Reeve. I don't know how to say that.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe we'll see it in just a second. Whoever that last person was, Reeve. Is it Reve?
Yeah.
All right. I think she's the athletic trainer at Rayburn, if that's correct. So you can join the conversation there by jumping in, registering, and you can also earn free CEUs. Without much further ado, we are going to get right to Mr. Sam Lee.
So, Mr. Lee, what is your favorite part about working in Hawaii?
I know you gave me this question to think about already, but there's just so many good things. One is, people think about the weather, the beaches, everything's just beautiful here in terms of the climate. But I think the thing that I really enjoy most is the people. I think when we think about athletic training, it really is, to me, a people resource. You know, I hear so much about people possibly in the mainland, maybe not where you guys are, but in other parts of the mainland, that in their high schools, they don't have an athletic trainer. They say that they don't have the money. They can't afford having an athletic trainer. You know, I say, how can you afford not to when you're dealing with not only sports and injuries to the physically active? You build big facilities, you have the money to build big facilities, but you don't have necessarily the opportunities to take care of them. Here in Hawaii, we have... not so much us as a profession, although some in our profession have really blazed the path for us that are here now. They really decide to pour into the human resources, athletic trainers, to help within the athletics, which is a big part and fabric of who we are here in Hawaii. And not just athletics, but specifically high school athletics, such that here in Hawaii, every public high school has a full-time athletic trainer. No teaching responsibilities, full-time athletic trainer responsibilities. Many of those schools have two. Now, that's the public schools. The private schools are split up a little bit more. Those that have that are larger public private schools, they may have two, three, four even athletic trainers, while some of our smaller ones still do not have athletic trainers. And that's what we're looking to try to help out with here in Hawaii. But overall, those are some of the most wonderful things I enjoy about being an athletic trainer and working in Hawaii as an athletic trainer.
All right. Are you born and raised Hawaii?
I'd like to be able to, but in all transparency, I'm just a Chinese kid from Chicago. And I chased a girl out here to Hawaii many years ago, about 22, 23 years ago now. And by God's grace, get to work as an athletic trainer in the high schools here.
All right. Very cool. Sounds like a very nice transplant. Chicago right now is probably in like the 40s, 50s, and Hawaii, you're probably not, right? So... I see pictures on Twitter and whatnot, people wearing jackets with scarves and everything there in Chicago. Woo! All right.
Mr. Lee, what is your biggest challenge working in Hawaii?
I think that the biggest challenge is that we would get complacent about who we are as athletic trainers and what we do as athletic trainers. Healthcare is always an evolving thing, and we want to be continuously growing in that field. And I think if I'm not careful, if my colleagues and I are not careful, it can become a very complacent thing. We want to be able to evolve. We want to be able to grow in regards to healthcare. And that's just not the technical aspects of it. It's also the, as we mentioned, the people aspects of it, working with different people in our community so that they can see that we can be a true resource for the community. So I think complacency is the biggest thing that I am concerned about for myself and for my colleagues.
So how do you guys overcome that? Because, you know, we looked it up yesterday. It's a 7-hour flight from LA to Hawaii, right? Or at least a 7-hour flight. And so getting outside of Hawaii for growth and development is very difficult unless you're doing something that's virtual. And then some of it is lost. So what are some of the things you're doing to overcome that that stagnation or whatever?
Yeah. So a lot of times we do try to provide continuing education unit opportunities here in Hawaii with the resources that we do have. A shout out to some of our bigger diamond sponsors in our Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association, both Queens Medical Center, the Hawaii Pacific Health, as well as Shriners Hospital, some traditional sponsors, orthopedic associates, different individual doctors. And so there's about 800,000 people here on this island of Oahu. And so there's a pretty good healthcare system here. And even though there's that many people, it's still a small island. You can get from one side of the island, no traffic, in about an hour, hour and a half. And so our opportunities here, we do have some. When we provide symposiums, everybody's doing all that they can to save on costs, whether it be food or rental facilities, facility usage rentals. And by doing that, we are able maybe to raise a little bit money there. Our sponsors then also are generous in terms of their sponsorship levels and helping us to raise some money, some membership dues. And with that, then we try to be able to give back with either scholarships to high school, undergraduate or graduate level folks. We have some money for research grants available. And then we will also try to have some of the leadership of the association go to our regionals and nationals. But not everybody can. If you're at a small rural school or a school that doesn't have a whole lot of money, you may not be able to go to the mainland. You might have to come and listen in on our continuing education units. And we try to video stream some of those also. But I know for myself, I'm not as well-versed in technology as you guys seem to be over there, but we do have some people that try to do that, and then we can broadcast it to some of our neighbor islands.
All right, very cool. Maybe in the future, there's some way we can work together. You know, like I said before, there's CU opportunities as of right now for being part of the live stream. And so maybe if there's a way I can help you guys out, you can help me out, then we will communicate that through email. So,
okay.
What is the most unique aspect of working in Hawaii?
It sounds kind of funny, but when I was just at a cross country, our state cross country meet this past weekend in Maui. About 20 or 30 some folks showed up. Some are new that I don't know. Others I've known for a long time, and they're always so very gracious. We go there and there's food. There's just a lot of food. You know, we're sharing and helping take care of the athletes. And then afterwards, there's just food and drink. And everybody's just kind of enjoying themselves in that way. Maybe not so much at a football game because everybody's on their own sidelines doing different things. But at track meets, cross country meets, wrestling meets, judo, we have varsity judo in the spring. And people just bring food, everybody shares. And it's kind of nice in that way.
All right, so how many athletic trainers are there in Hawaii?
Membership for our Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association is a little over 200. So about 215, 217. Could be growing a little bit. I need to check the latest stats, but that's what I had the last I looked.
All right. And how many total people live in Hawaii? I know you said there's 800,000 people on Oahu, but right. What about...
Over the different islands of Hawaii, there's probably a little over 1 million people, 1.2 million, I think.
Wow. That's a pretty good ratio. Because, I mean, There's 6 million people here in Houston, and you know, obviously we have 2 athletic trainers here at our school, but there's schools that are 1 athletic trainer or that are athletic trainers just working after school, like through the hospital and stuff like that. So a lot of our private schools seem to be opposite of yours. You said some of your private schools have 4, whereas the public schools have 2. And so our private schools tend to have the one that works maybe as the nurse and, you know, I don't know, the girls athletic director or something like that. So they have, just because the private schools don't pay as well, so they have to take on more responsibilities. Why do you think that the private schools there, like, how many are at your school?
So there's 2 at my particular school, and I'm very grateful for that, because, you know, it makes a big difference in terms of quality of life for yourself as an athletic trainer, too.
Sure.
People sometimes don't realize our communities that we serve, and we hope that we're truly a positive asset to our community. Sometimes in the midst of all that, because you're always there, they forget, oh, you might have a life outside of athletic training. You mean you have a wife and kids, and do you ever see them? And I'd like to. So could you finish practice earlier?
Right.
So it's nice to be able to have somebody else, because if you really need to spend some time with family, maybe during a slow period, you know, one can cover for the other. But when the season's going and there's a lot of different games going, everybody's got to put their hand to the task and get working. So.
Mr. Lee, what are you doing to improve athletic training in your state?
I think one of the big things that we're kind of focusing on right now is exertional heat illness. And I've seen how that's really changed. I mean, on the books, there's been a lot of different things, even from the national organization, about how to best take care of exertional heat illnesses. I think that we are starting to implement more and more of that from last year to this year. I think this year, the environment, the climate kind of forced us to, because there is this heat wave. I don't know if El Nino affects other places or not, but it seems to affect us pretty big this year, because August and September seem to be some of the hottest months that I've felt in my 20 plus years of being here in Hawaii for this longest sustained period. And when it wasn't a continuous heat wave, there were just torrential downpours, lightning and thunder. We very rarely see lightning here in Hawaii, but just in this last 2 or 3 months, seen more of it than we have in probably, for me, 20-some years. So we're really having to deal with exertional heat illness, both not only in terms of the heat, but the humidity. And so every meet that I've been at for cross country this year has had a tub of water for getting ready for water immersion should the heat illness situation call for that. At the state meet in Maui just this past weekend, the Maui Interscholastic League athletic trainers, a shout out to them in terms of how well prepared they were. 4 different tubs with showers and enough athletic trainers to station them throughout the course. Usually we don't have that many resources to do that. An emergency action plan, a big map, color map posted on a big foam board, walkie-talkies, Kestrel heat index monitors. Very, very proud of our colleagues in Maui for being ready in that regards.
All right, so why, I mean, El Nino here this year, it's brought a whole lot of rain. Like, you know, we just had flooding last weekend. We're probably going to have flooding again this weekend. And they said that, you know, the snow up in Colorado or something is supposed to be really good because of the El Nino, but that doesn't affect us at all because that's 12 hours away. What is it normally like? I mean, I would think on the beach, when I go to the beach down in Galveston, it's pretty warm during June, July, August, even September. And so I would think it would be similar in Hawaii, but you said you don't ever see lightning. So what is a normal July or maybe August, September look like for you?
Okay. That is a little bit warmer. So it would probably be in about the low 80s, high 70s, mid to high 70s. And because of the trade winds, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but everything feels a little bit cooler. And you actually have to be careful. If it's a sunny day and you feel the trade winds, you'd be tempted to maybe go to the beach or go outside and not put any sunblock on. And that would be a mistake, because you would probably get sunburned. And so, and I mean, that depends also on skin pigmentation and different factors like that. But I think that there is many folks that come from the mainland and they, oh, it's beautiful here. And it is, but it can be a deceptive beauty if you're not ready for it. Come winter time, what is traditionally winter on the mainland is a little bit more of the rainy season here in Hawaii. And so you've got to deal with just rainy conditions. Here in Hawaii, some of the fields have been changed over to the synthetic field turf type atmospheres, and that's pretty good. But back in the day, when in the last 20 years, when we played on grass fields, it was just basically a mud bowl football game or mud bowl soccer game. And the ball just, if you kick a soccer ball, and instead of rolling, it just plops in the middle of some wet area of the field. So those are the rainy seasons, but the nice seasons are very nice in terms of 70s, 80s degrees and trade winds, comfortable feeling, sunny. Yeah.
Yeah, so a typical August here in Houston and most, I would say most of Texas is going to be closer to 100. So yeah, that's definitely a big difference. So, but 80 would be nice, but again, there's all sorts of different challenges that come along with that. What are some of the unique things there that you guys are part of? I know that the Ironman World Championships are there in Hawaii. What are some of the other things that we might not have here in the mainland or here in, you know, Houston?
Well, I mentioned earlier that judo, a large influx of the Japanese culture has been brought to Hawaii. And so we actually have judo as a varsity sport. We also have paddling as a varsity sport, kayaking as a sport. I guess water polo is pretty big. It can be big in other places on the mainland, but we have water polo. All of our swimming is generally outdoors. And I know there are some things with the Ironman triathlons, some stuff. They're trying to do some club surfing right now, but we're not necessarily seeing that as a varsity sport yet. That's still at the club level.
All right. Jasmine, one of my student athletic trainers. Jasmine does judo, right, Jasmine?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so she, I know you're always wearing the Olympic Training Center jacket. Did you say you went to the Olympic Training Center to do some training, or your coach was?
No, I went.
You went to the Olympic Training Center?
Yeah,
so, all right, there you go. You got a future in Hawaii right there, Jasmine. Right, and see, and now you already know Sam, so you already know Mr. Lee. All about connecting people. All right, so as we're talking about that, if, say, I wanted to say, all right, I'm going to come out there during the summer and do an internship or something like that, because I've written grants with Fund for Teachers, and that grant allows me to travel. Like last summer, I was going to try and go to Canada and take the FMS course. So it's a way that I can travel and improve my practice as a teacher or athletic trainer. So if I said I wanted to come out there and I'm going to stay in Sam's guest house, and what would I do while I'm there?
Well, kind of depends on what you'd like to do, and you've got a whole bunch of different things you could do. In regards to athletic training, one, being from the mainland myself, I really enjoy showing people around. Now, whether I can always do it or not, if there's a resource to do it, that's hard to say. I know that in Houston, as I've read some national publications, there is, and I see that shirt in white back there that says GHATS. I'm guessing that's the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society.
Yes, sir.
And I believe that, I'm not sure if that's mainly for high schools or not, but I thought I saw it in the past in different publications that they do a student workshop.
Yes,
and
sir.
Getting hundreds of different people there. And that's kind of neat to hear about. Here in Hawaii, though we're smaller, we try to hold something like that on a regular annual basis. And we get maybe anywhere from 40 to 70 kids out in the summer times, and just trying to bring them in from neighbor islands. That can be hard too because of just the resources. And every year it's a slightly different time because we're always trying to fight for a time such that it's not during the school year when all the sports are going on. But if you get it after the sports seasons in the spring, then you're fighting against all the graduations that happen in late May, early June. And then once you're past that, we might have spring football for some people. And then summertime, some folks are just wanting to take off. So trying to find that perfect time for the student workshop is always hard. But we enjoyed doing that. And I would invite you to come to that if that's something that we have again this year. we usually try to pair it up. We have some good connections such that people at the University of Hawaii work in the University of Hawaii Medical School Cadaver Lab. And so we have opportunities to sometimes bring our high school students to the Medical School Cadaver Lab. There's also a simulation, medical simulation lab nearby. If we take them over to one of the local high schools that might have a pool, we might do some different things with water, first aid, safety, rehabilitation there. Our typical maybe taping stations have some people talk about sports psychology, nutrition, hydration, and just more or less, and lots of food all around. Just wanting to make sure high school students here in the islands have the opportunity to see what athletic healthcare is all about.
All right, so I'm going to come right back to that. But since you've mentioned food and lots of food a couple of times, what's your favorite food there on the island?
Oh, if you just take me to a 7-Eleven, they have this thing called a Spam Musubi. It's a Spam sushi. Yeah, you might be thinking, oh, Spam. But we love it here in Hawaii. And you can go to the 7-Eleven. I could walk to the 7-Eleven right now from my house and pick up a Spam Musubi, and I would be in heaven. You know, Spam Musubi with a Slurpee. I would be very happy. But there are other things, a lot of Asian cultures, everything from sushi to Chinese food to Korean food to malasadas, which are Portuguese donuts, awesome. Andagi, which are Okinawan donuts, slightly different. Just a lot of different foods that we get to enjoy here.
All right, so as you were talking about things that you could do there, I know that obviously Pearl Harbor's right there. Would mm-hmm. there be any opportunity to visit the medical aspect of working with the military if I was to come out there?
There might be. I can't guarantee you that. We do know some athletic trainers here in Hawaii that work in the military, with the military. You've also got to just, you know, be aware that to get on base, there'd be some different clearances and what have you, besides just the fact of whether they would allow us to see what they do. But we do have a couple of contacts, and we might be able to touch base with them in regards to that.
All right. So definitely very interesting. Something, you know, just unique things that I'd be looking for that would help either me or anybody listening write a grant for Fund for Teachers so that they can come out and visit you. So as we were talking about that, kind of what about for if I was to, say, bring this group of students? Maybe I was going to bring 10 students to Hawaii on a field trip over spring break, which for us is March 15th, so the middle of March. So if I wanted to do that, what are some of the things that are happening? You already said judo, which is a sport we don't have here as far as in schools. So, you know, getting to see judo, what are some of the other ideas that I might do with these kids so that they could experience something completely different than Houston?
You said judo, watching some different people take care of different people in the military, if we can get you onto the military bases. Just seeing how each within an hour, you can see a very urban athletic program, athletic training program, and within an hour, you could see a very rural athletic training program. And I think that's kind of neat because it's quite a bit of diversity in that within a small area so that you can see it all without necessarily needing to travel as much as you would on the mainland. Different things, possibly, like I said, surfing is more of a club sport right now, but we do have paddling, which is happening now until about, I would say, maybe January. So you'd probably miss out on that. Kayaking just finished in the fall. We do have air riflery and sporter riflery, but again, those are fall and winter sports. But I think the biggest thing at the time that you come out would be either club surfing, if that's still going on. I can't remember the seasons for that. But we do have at least one contact that does some stuff there, and then the judo.
All right. So real quick, do you guys have any other questions for Sam, Mr. Lee, about athletic training in Hawaii or just in general things that may interest you? I know Destiny was really set on hearing about Spam, so you already told her about that. So any of you guys, Jasmine, you have any questions there about judo in the school? No? No? What's that? What'd you say? Oh, yeah. Maybe you can send us a picture. They wanted to see what the outside. They just, you know.
Oh, you want to see what the outside looks like? Yeah. Okay, let me go ahead and try and go outside right now with this thing.
All right, so I'm going to turn the volume down because it's probably going to be noisy.
Okay, sounds good. So this is the house right here. And a lot of Asian culture here, right? So that's my house, and right there is my family name with these two red things on the side that show all the generations' name. I don't know if you guys can quite see that. It's Lee in Chinese, right in that big center, and then on the side is all the generational names there, and then on the other side of it too. Over here, got some pictures of my wife and family and my book. There's my dog. I gotta show you my dog. This is Coda. Coda, can you say hi? He's sleeping here. I gotta go take him for a walk in a little bit. I can't quite see him. Can you guys see him?
There you go.
Coda. Oh, all right, let's go outside. All right, let's go outside. Oh, he's all happy to go outside here. All right. Dog outside, and it's probably about 70, 80 degrees outside here. Oops. Let me kind of show you. Can you guys see?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
All right.
Let's show you back behind me.
He's lagging.
All right, Sam, so you are, I guess you're getting a little far from the Wi-Fi.
There's a mountain back there. Here's the front of my house. Okay.
There we go.
Can you see it now?
Yeah, it's a little better.
So kind of the front of my house, get some flowers on my front yard here. Moving away from the Wi-Fi a little bit too much. Some nice smelling flowers right over here. Yeah. So there's my dog running around all over the place. I got to go take him for a walk here in a little bit. So this is Hawaii for me. Very thankful. Cannot complain. But yeah, about 70, 80, some degrees, and if you have opportunity to come visit, let us know.
Okay, so the kids are going to go, but I have just one more question I wanted to talk to you about. So that okay?
My gate breaker is in my car. Go ahead, Jeremy.
All right,
bye, guys. Aloha.
All right, so one of the things you had mentioned was the heat exhaustion, the heat stress illness from the El Nino effect. And, you know, like I said, I saw something in the news about that. It was either Twitter or whatever. What are some of the things that you guys are doing in general to fight that, the heat illness there in Hawaii?
We're trying to measure the heat index at a couple of different schools on a daily basis with a Kestrel wet bulb globe thermometer that a couple of different schools purchased. And we've put it at different high school football fields to measure that temperature on a daily basis and compare it with the different schools. And formerly our Department of Education athletic healthcare coordinator for many years. He has put up a little Google Docs thing that he sent out to everybody, and he also asked us to put up on our Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association website so that people can report any heat illness injuries that they have. I think that's so new that people are still learning about it and trying to get used to that. But on the other end, you know, the Kestrel wet bulb globe thermometer is being placed at many schools near their playing fields to kind of get a true and accurate read of what the heat humidity index really is.
All right. So in the chat room, I have a question from Craig Lewin. He said he'd like to learn more about the summer educational grants. How could somebody find out more about that?
Summer educational grant or the.
Did you mention earlier that y'all have grants, or is that just for athletic trainers in Hawaii to go outside of Hawaii?
Yeah, that's more like a $1,500, $2,000. I got to double check again. And that grant is more for not so much travel, but research into different things that might be of interest to Hawaii athletic trainers. We probably prioritize those who are Hawaii Athletic Trainers Association members wanting to do some research within Hawaii. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So those are more focused on there. So the ones that I was discussing, like I said, I went to Florida on one, and last summer I had written it, but we had to pull it out because one of the athletic trainers tore his ACL and couldn't go. We were going to go to Canada and do the functional movement screen or functional movement systems. And so Craig, the Fund for Teachers, fundforteachers.org, is a travel grant for teachers. So You know, if you haven't ever written a grant, then write it up and or look at the information, write it up and send it to me, and I can tell you what I think because I've written several successful grants. So fundforteachers.org is a really good one. And then donorschoose.org has just started into the teacher travel grant deal because I went to Podcast Movement this past summer off of donorschoose.org. So that was a pretty cool deal for me. So Craig, look into those and then we go from there. So I think that, all right, so any other tips? Sam, I know that we've emailed back and forth, and I haven't said anything to my students that I'm interested. I'm looking into coming out there with students. And like I said, it would be a couple years from now. And so any other things that I should really consider before making big plans? Is there, you know, like in August, September, October, that's when we have like hurricane season, something like that. Is there something I should need to consider there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can't completely control when a hurricane runs through here, but there have been more than enough near misses with the hurricanes. I mean, we saw a satellite picture back a few months ago that literally showed three hurricanes in the area of Hawaii. And, you know, knock on wood, we've been lucky or blessed not to have any of those directly hit Hawaii. And I know in Houston, you guys know about the dangers of that, too, with the Gulf of Mexico. But just been a really strange year in that sense. You know, all bets are off if a hurricane's blowing through here. And I would say just be wary of the cost. Hawaii is just incredibly expensive for some reason. And, you know, as nice as the weather is and you know, a comparable house here to Houston, you'd get so much more for your money anywhere on the mainland, it seems like, than Hawaii. So if people are expecting a paradise in terms of the weather and the beach, yes, it is beautiful there, but none of us really live in mansions, at least I don't, as an athletic trainer here in Hawaii. So the generosity of the people, though, hopefully will take over and help you out in that regards. But just do know that it can be very, very expensive. And so to bring a large number of students, just trying to think through the logistics of what to plan for them, where to house them, how to feed them, how to transport them around is something that, you know, and maybe you're more logistically gifted than I am, but I know that for me, I needed a lot of help when I was trying to put together the student workshop. And another lady that you've heard from, Cindy Shimoda, she's very passionate about that. She may be able to help you out with that also. But it may require sleeping in some school gymnasiums if we can't find anything else, and borrow some sleeping bags. But yeah, just want you to be wary of that also. Not to discourage you, but just to make sure that, you know, your eyes are open to the realities of the cost that may incur in doing something like that.
So that was another question I'd forgotten to write down. Does the cost of being an athletic trainer, like I'm looking to order some budget stuff right now, you know, mm-hmm. I look through the catalog, is there a you know, this is the price except for in Hawaii it's twice as much kind of thing? Because yeah, you know, everything has to be sent out there, right?
Right. So let's see, the company that has worked well with a lot of the Hawaii high school athletic trainers is the Henry Schein Corporation. And we're thankful. Shout out to Justin Matledge, our West Coast rep, for that. I know a gentleman from Sports Health. I see that you guys have some relationships with Sports Health, School Health. A shout out to them, too, although my buddy Greg Evans, formerly of Wheaton College in Illinois, mm-hmm. Been trying to get him out to visit me in Hawaii also and show some of our high school athletic trainers some love in terms of seeing what we can do in terms of good pricing for Hawaii, but Medco, who we order from. But with Henry Schein, they've been really good in terms of it doesn't seem like there's anything different in shipping for us in Hawaii than compared to the mainland. But when you start going to other companies for other products, sometimes shipping costs more than the product itself.
Yeah.
You know, if my coach wants to get some product, it's like, okay, yeah, well, this is what it costs and this is what shipping costs. And they sometimes just know that it's shipping is going to cost more than the product itself. And so I think like one coach was trying to get a Vertimax or something like that to practice jumping. Yeah. Crazy.
And so is most of that stuff, is that flown over? Or is that something stuff that's delivered on boats? I mean, like the Vertimax, like you said, it's pretty heavy equipment.
Yeah. That may come on the slow boat over.
Yeah.
Not completely sure. I leave that to the coaches in that regards. But for most of our athletic training supplies, I believe they ship it over on a plane, unless it's something really big. I guess Gatorade might be supposedly sending me something with a cart, but I haven't heard from them in a long time, and they may be coming on a slow boat to Hawaii. I'll have to check with them again. But, you know, thankful for just even companies that would want to ship things to Hawaii. You know, they could just say, hey, it costs too much. We're not even going to ship it out there. And then what can you do? You know, we've got a friend in American Samoa who is an athletic trainer. She might be the only athletic trainer in American Samoa. She's got to take care of by herself 9 high schools. And so on a typical football weekend, she's working Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And she might even get grief from some of the parents. How come you're not standing on our sideline? How come you're not standing on our sideline? Well, you're the only athletic trainer for 9 high schools. What can you do?
Yeah.
Right. And she's also the athletic trainer for the national Olympic teams that go to play either in the Olympics or in some of their Oceanic games. And then on top of that, she was a tennis player for the national team. So she's playing, she's coordinating athletic healthcare, both at the national level for them as well as at the high school level. And so, you know, whenever I can think of to do some things to try to help her out with products or supplies or resources, I try to help them out. We try to help them out, but that's, yeah. I mean, they're actually in our district now too, American Samoa, the far west district of California, Nevada, Guam, and Hawaii.
Very interesting. So are there athletic trainers in Guam as well?
I believe so, but if there are, I don't know who they are or who that might be. And so I've got to double check on that one.
All right. Yeah. So what if I was interested in packing up, moving to Hawaii, working as an athletic trainer? How difficult would it be for me to get a job there, get a, you know, inexpensive place to live? Because, yeah, I don't know, just a place to live. And, you know, so so if I was going to make that transition, how would that be for me?
Well, the biggest, I think, job opportunities happen in the Department of Education. Again, we mentioned that the state of Hawaii High School Department of Education, there are probably 70, 80 plus jobs, not available, but 70, 80 jobs, you know, there. And most of them are filled, but there's always openings. And the openings are usually at some of the more remote sites. So if you don't mind working as an athletic trainer in a rather remote site, remote island, rural area, then there may be some job opportunities, because we find that we may or may not have enough local Hawaii people to fill those spots. So different people from the mainland might come to fill those spots. But we find that maybe after a few years, they get maybe island fever, rock fever, like, there's got to be more, you know. And even for me from Chicago, I miss the seasons a little bit. You know, I haven't, other than skiing in Tahoe with my brother, I don't see snow here in Hawaii. And just kind of missing the seasons a little bit sometimes. I like going to see how big the mainland is and all that it has to offer. I'll be going next week with my senior in high school daughter to visit some colleges there. And looking forward maybe to just even a little bit of the change in seasons. So, but are there opportunities here? There probably is. How many? That depends from year to year, how many people transition in and out of jobs.
All right, so is a teacher certification necessary? I know that you said that in the public school, there were 2 full-time athletic trainers with non-teaching responsibilities, right?
Correct. So you do need to be NATA, National Athletic Trainers Association Board of Certification certified. And then you also need to be registered with the state now too. So there's no extra licensure exam, but registration functions as licensure in order to practice here in Hawaii as an athletic trainer. And so you can't be calling yourself an athletic trainer and not be nationally certified and also registered with the state.
All right. So, and then quickly, do you know much about the Masters of Athletic Training there at the University of Hawaii?
Yeah. So as you may have heard, now everything is going to be moving to the master's level for education for athletic training in approximately 7 years. Here in Hawaii, we do not have an undergraduate program in athletic training. They used to, and then they moved towards what was called an entry-level master's degree program, which they prefer to call it now a master's-level professional program. And then there's also a master's level post-professional program, meaning those people who have already been certified at the undergraduate level, they want to get more experience education-wise, but maybe not necessarily a doctorate, they can get a post-professional master's program. There's graduate assistantships for that also, ranging from working as graduate assistant athletic trainers in some of the private high schools to help fund their graduate studies. There might be some different things with concussion management programs or working with, say, the ROT assistants in a master's post-professional program. And then there is also doctoral level studies at the University of Hawaii.
All right. Sounds very interesting. If I'd only been a little bit more informed when I was graduating college, maybe I could have been out there. But I didn't get my master's, and so, I mean, I just started working. But see, it turned out all right for me. I'm doing okay here, huh?
It looks like you're doing okay there. Yeah. Looks like you're doing okay there.
Plus, we live, you know, 5 minutes from my in-laws and 10 minutes, 15 minutes from my mom. So
it's
not bad at all whenever you need a babysitter or...
babysitter or good home cooking. And
something.
That. How old are your kids?
My oldest son, Jonah, is 5. He's just started kindergarten this year. My second son, Samuel, is 3. And then my third son, Gideon, will be turning 1 in just like a week and a half. So.
Oh, that's precious. Now, do you have to teach there? Obviously, you'd have to teach, and then you also work as an athletic trainer there. What are your hours like?
All right, so my first 4 years here, I was a biology teacher and an athletic trainer. And Bill, the other athletic trainer here at Pasadena, was a math teacher and an athletic trainer. So I had 4 classes of biology, and he had 3 classes of algebra. So there was several times throughout the day where there was nobody here in the athletic training room. And so what they did was they moved all the athletic trainers in our district, which there's 10 of us because there's 5 high schools, into only sports medicine. So I teach sports medicine, but, you know, obviously these kids are learning, or hopefully learning, to do what I do. All right, yeah. So maybe they're interested in being a nurse or a doctor or something else in medicine, but it's an intro to sports medicine is what I teach, and he teaches sports medicine too, which is a little bit more in depth, and those are for only kids that are interested in athletic training, that are in the student athletic trainer program, which is after school. And so I don't really teach a normal or core class because I only have 1 class during the day, and then we have athletics. We have some of our students in the athletic period so they can help us with treatments, rehabs, filling up coolers, whatever it is. And so our hours are varied. Actually, Bill's gone right now. He went to the dentist, and, you know, it's not a big deal because I'm just here talking with you. Then I'm going to go over there to athletics and be fine. And so after we have our last game this Saturday, so after next week, it'll be kind of like I come in at 6:30 and then I'll leave at 2:30, and he'll come in a little bit later and then stay until it's over. So it'll be kind of like that. We'll switch off weeks. So whenever it's not...
When you say when it's over, when is practices and games over usually?
So game could go till 9 or 10 o'clock, basketball game, right? And then the practices, normally it's 6:30 when we leave, because sometimes the basketball teams don't start... we get out of school at 2:30. So mm-hmm. Sometimes the basketball teams won't start practice till like 4 or 5. I'm like, look, if you waited 3 hours to start practice, that's all on you. So, I mean, that's just ridiculous to expect us to be here that long. So, you know, that's the more or less the hours during non-football time. You know, obviously for us, February is the busiest time because you have basketball ending up, you have soccer starting up, baseball and softball starting up, and track starting up. Well, February is kind of like the middle of soccer season for us. So February is the busiest time for athletic trainers here in Houston.
Okay. How big is your school, Jeremy?
We are a 6A high school, which means like over 2,000, I think. So all of our schools in the district are 6A, meaning they're all over 2,000 students. With one of the high schools, they have 3,800 kids. So.
Okay. And how many football teams you got?
We have varsity. We have, I think, the fewest. We have varsity, JV, and then 2 freshman teams.
Varsity, JV, and 2 freshman teams. So 4 football teams. Okay. Wow. And that is 9th through 12th grade or 10th through 12th grade?
9th through 12th, yes.
9th through 12th. Okay. Can I ask, what is your relationship with school health and sports health, and how do they work with you guys, and and stuff like that?
Sure. It was just kind of a, they called and said, hey, can we come talk to you? I said, sure. You know, I'm always willing to, for people to come in and talk to me. You know, they typically bring and leave stuff for me to have or test out. And so I'd been going through Medco just because, you know, I'd met our guy, John Garner, and he'd always seemed to do well taking care of me or getting back to me with a response or an order or whatever. And then Greg came in and actually it was Greg came in here and met with me. And so then we just started talking. So I ordered through them that year just to try them out. And then I was like, hey, you know,
Greg Evans.
Yeah.
So, stinking guy.
I know, right? So now I'm going to have to email him and say, hey, Greg, me and you need to take a trip to see Sam. So
give him some gas for me, man.
So then from there, it was just kind of like, I was like, hey, I have this podcast. I think school health would benefit athletic trainers because, you know, he is an athletic trainer working in a sports medicine product company. We actually talked to him on the podcast like 2 weeks ago just about, you know, his job and some of the new products and some of the things that he likes as an athletic trainer that they're starting to carry. And so it just really worked out well that a sports medicine product company would want to get their name out there through this podcast, and that I would be able to give my listeners, like I said at the beginning, Israel won a $50 school health gift card. So every month somebody can win that. And so that's the relationship there with Sports Health. It's just a partnership to benefit the listener. And then I get to test stuff out. They sent me a Polar Life Pod to test out and give a review of, and they let me keep it. They sent me a Kramer Tough Tech backpack to test out and give my thoughts and opinions of. So he's going to send out some other stuff over the next few months, and we'll just test it out, give our thoughts, discuss it on the air. And you know, it benefits me, benefits the listeners, because they get to hear about products, they get to hear about, or they get to the chance to win the gift card. And then it benefits school health, obviously, because they get some advertisement.
So Jeremy, who does your, like, your podcast here, who's your target audience, and who have you been reaching?
So target audience is athletic trainers, professional athletic trainers, right? So when I first started, I just wanted to bring in a guest speaker for the kids. And so the target audience was the students. But then as it changed, and then once I met Dr. Yellen and Knobloch from the University of Houston, it really shifted my focus to where this can really benefit athletic trainers. And so my target audience is professionals. And that's who we've got people logged in earning the CEUs right now, because they're learning about athletic training in different settings or ways, different ways to apply things. You know, sometimes we talk about some really complex topics, and sometimes it's a little bit lighter and more informal. And so the target audience, certified athletic trainers, and then you know, just through word of mouth basically is how it's gotten spread. I'm pretty active on Twitter, so I see a lot of athletic trainers, see the issues that people are facing, and I try to take those in. I get some emails or things from people, and a lot of the topics come from things that I see or hear and I'm interested in. And, you know, like next week on the 16th, we're talking to athletic trainers that work professional soccer. Well, soccer is my favorite sport to work and to watch. So I'm really interested in what can I do to better take care of those athletes, because these are professional athletic trainers, you know, working for professional sports. So they're going to should be on the cutting edge. Did I answer your question there?
Yeah. Hey, you know, the U.S. women's national team is coming out to Hawaii in December.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So but. Just throwing that out there, and that's soccer season for Hawaii also. But
a little late for me to get on board there.
Let you leave three little ones to come out for that.
No, see, that's the thing. I would have to take her with me. Since we have female student athletic trainer, she would have to be a chaperone, right?
Oh, definitely.
That's the only way that would work.
So. Oh, my. Okay. So you've got people. Are we still logged in now?
Yeah, it's still live. There's still... five or six people logged in watching live, but that's just logged in. So there's other people that can watch without logging in. So if they go to on YouTube live or sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, they can just watch live. And then, but these are the people that are logged in, and it tracks how long they're logged in so that they're eligible for the CEUs.
And can you tell like where they're logged in from, like what parts of the country or world?
Well, some of them I know. John Prosek, he was down in the valley, so that's about 4 to 6 hours south of here. Craig Lewin, I don't remember. I just saw it on his Twitter, but I can't really see the names. But there's, you know, people from Tennessee, people from New York, or basically all over the United States. People the different times, log in, watch, they comment, and there's been a couple of little comments right there. I may step over there and read what they say, but.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm representing Hawaii well.
Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, my. Hey, I wanted to, because I sometimes forget to think about these things. If somebody wanted to, I don't know if you taped this today or if somebody from Hawaii, from our public relations, wanted to hear about what I did here. Is there some way for them to find out, or not so much, obviously the live parts could be over, but was any part of it filmed that they can go look at, archived somewhere?
The whole thing. So I do the video part. It's streamed using a Hangout on Air. And so that's actually will be on YouTube within about an hour of us hanging up. But it'll be easier if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Right there on the homepage is this video. Otherwise, you have to go to my YouTube channel, which I think is Sports Medicine Broadcast on YouTube. And then that'll have all of the videos there. So then it's easy for you to share the video. But then also I take the audio and it's recorded, and then I'll edit that and I release that at a later date with a podcast as an audio only version, so you can listen while you're in your car or, you know, working out or something like that.
I think you should take the whole setup and move to Hawaii and broadcast from Hawaii, man.
You think so? You got room in your basement?
But I mean, I'd love to have you as a resource here.
All right, there we go. See, so my wife usually watches live, so hopefully she's hearing this. And the only thing is,
there, Mrs. Jackson.
Aloha. All right, you hear that, baby? All right, we're moving to Hawaii. So.
Oh. Well, thank you again for the opportunity just to speak, talk story, as we say here in Hawaii, with you folks in Houston, and hopefully represented Hawaii well to you guys as well as to the rest of the country.
So aloha means hello and goodbye?
Yeah, pretty much so. Hello, goodbye. Showing somebody aloha means showing somebody goodwill, so to speak. And so, yeah, kind of a catch-all phrase.
Gotcha. All right, that'll work. That'll work. So one thing I didn't mention earlier is the the December code for, or the November code for entering sportshealth.com/SMB, which, Sam, you can do this, or you can send it out to the other athletic trainers there in Hawaii. So just send it out to your email list if you like. sportshealth.com/SMB. The password is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, for November. That's my beautiful wife. And then in December, the password is FOOBAG, F-O-O-B-A-G, which is really good when you have a lot of rain. It protects your kit, your AED, and all that stuff. I like them. We have about four of them.
You got one of those. Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. And so check it out, sportshealth.com/SMB, Sarah for November, and then FOOBAG for December. Sam, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's going to be the best way to do that?
Can either get in touch with me through my school account, which is S-L-E-E, at HBA, Hawaii Baptist Academy, HBA.net, or if it's more of an association, professional association type thing, they can email me at hatapresident, H-A-T-A, hatapresident at gmail.com.
And then, like you said earlier, you don't know your Twitter handle, so can't use that one.
I'll try to figure that out soon and let you know.
All right. Well, for the Sports Medicine Broadcast, which we broadcast almost every single Wednesday, there'll be a couple days we miss coming up because of I'm spacing it out, because episode 200 will be during March, which is the NATA month. And we got some big stuff coming up with my friend Greg at School Health and Sam's friend Greg at School Health. So we got some good stuff coming up in March, episode 200 there. But most every Wednesday, you can catch us live. But again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. It has a schedule of guests, so you can see when they are there. Best way to know is to join the email list, and that's when I send out the link to register. Then the passwords for the school health giveaway, and then any other information that might be beneficial. Like last week when I messed up the time on the thing and I had to send out the new link, the email list got that right away easily. So make sure you join that there. As I talked about earlier, Twitter, I'm PHS Sports Med. So there's two S's in there, PHS Sports Med. That's where I like a lot because it's nice, short, sweet, and you can get lots of good, quick information. So I am Jeremy Jackson, Sam Lee. Aloha from Hawaii.
Aloha.
That's a wrap.
Take care.